Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Hello. Oh, she's connecting to audio. We'll
give her yeah, audio's just coming.
Yeah.
Audio's just coming.
I, on the other hand, am busy. I got, like, that stuff going on, man.
Yeah, what
stuff
are you doing?
Going on. Yeah.
What's just, going on?
No, just lots and lots and lots of things happening. So I got... I'm helping Mutlux. We're doing some email campaign stuff.
When it says you're trying to connect to audio.
Yeah, connecting to audio. In a second. So join us. Yeah, we've been hooking up some of the YouTube stuff on the other side.
I saw the stuff. That looks good.
Yeah, I set up my first Pinterest page. I've never done that before.
Really?
I've never done. Never.
That was probably a Pinterest thing 10 years ago. Even I'm better than you.
Look, I'm a dude in my 40s. I've got no reason. Hi.
Hi.
Finally, I was trying to just get through my phone connection versus the computer, which I don't always love.
Yeah.
Hello. I am so excited.
I'm really excited, actually. I've known Winnie a very long time. We did this math the other day. We went for a COVID-safe breakfast, and we're figuring out. So weirdly enough, I met Winnie in 08, I met her in
2008,
Texas.
That's right. Yeah.
I met her in Texas. I met
in
her
in Texas. What a
we
show.
We met in San Antonio, Texas.
That's nice.
There was it was mostly nice. There were some weird moments with dueling pianos and a snowstorm that almost stranded all of J&J Canada in the US. Do you still have your hat?
I do have my hat, and those work out very well during Halloween every year. I'm not going to lie. It's the easiest costume I could put on. That also, I think Phil failed to mention, that was my first ever week at Johnson & Johnson. So it was quite the orientation.
So you guys were down you got a cowboy hat, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh,
it's funny. So my J&J San Antonio was Lynn and Joanne and I going shopping with Sandy from WN. And Joanne and Lynn and Sandy bought me a cowboy hat.
Okay.
So I've got a cowboy hat from San Antonio as well. And from
company.
When were you down there with them?
We were down there for pharmacy conference. I don't remember when. It might have been around the same time, you know.
Around 08?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well, when did I leave London?
Maybe they re-gifted you.
I left London in what did I do? they're way nicer than you. They wouldn't have done that. You might have done something like that. They wouldn't do that. Those two are so
that's
sweet.
That's quite true with Phil.
Exactly. Come on. Joanne and Lynn? Seriously?
Oh, boy.
Listen, Lynn, be able to do that. Joanne would it, because we could guilt Joanne into feeling like a bag of shit for even thinking that.
Joanne's amazing.
Because she's just so soft, right?
Yeah.
Lenny might have done it. She's a little bit more of a criminal. She could have. I could see her doing it. Yeah. Not Joanne, though. Joanne's way too soft. Come on. Like, seriously?
So Winnie and I met in Texas her first day on the job.
So 12 years now.
12 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've worked on a whole chunk of things together. We went through the wars on femcare. So Winnie and I were like two of the three people on femcare.
Stay free OB.
Stay free and OB. Yeah. See that face? That's Kenny's buyer's face right there.
I bought the categories for a long time. Right? Every new buyer has got to start with Fem High.
Yeah,
Fem Hind and Family Planning. That's kind of that's your introductory to the world of buying.
Yeah.
And it's always great as a man buying Fem Hind because you have just, you know, it's, we have so much knowledge about it because, I mean, we're just so, you know, in tune.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, what I used to sit there and think, oh my God, like,
we did that together. We oh my gosh, we did that for a bunch of years together, and so also weirdly enough, I'm gonna, like, we always do this, Winnie. So we just kind of like jump into things, and then like 40 minutes.
And nobody knows who the hell we're talking to, including me.
You told me. You told me it's organic. It's nothing to prepare, and I was nervous as hell. I'm like, really, nothing to prepare?
No.
Like, all right, sure.
No. If you prepare, you're way over prepared.
I got to tell you this. So one of my favorite things about Winnie, so many things to love about Winnie. I really love Winnie. The one of the funnest things is she is, I mean, for all the listeners, you can't see her. So Winnie's brown, right? But she speaks fluent Cantonese, like fluent Cantonese. And so when we went through brand planning, we'd actually do half of it in Cantonese.
That's awesome. Which is
amazing, right? Like, so
when
it was
we didn't
amazing.
Want anybody else to listen. Yeah. Like, that was what we did. That was awesome. The best part of it.
So why do you know Cantonese? Oh, yeah. Not that you can't know Cantonese. So it's all good.
No. I was born and brought up in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
So my family actually still lives there. And I practically spent all my early years all the way up till high school in Hong Kong. Then I came to Toronto for 4 years at U of T and then went back, did my MBA, worked there, and then kind of removed. And then eventually settled in Toronto. And that's kind of how that J&J journey came about from Toronto times. Yeah.
Wow. So your folks are still in Hong Kong?
Yes, they're there. My brother lives there as well. So I have a lot of deep roots there.
It's going through a lot of changes.
I miss it. But, a lot.
I just love that city. Just love that city.
For sure. Yeah.
Wow.
So
what are you doing now?
It every day.
So I was laughing at Phil.
So let me just introduce her. Otherwise,
I wonder who Winnie is. That's the thing. I don't even know who Winnie is.
I'm going to introduce
who's
her.
Who's on our show?
Follow along. Otherwise, like, you know, we'll be 40 minutes in. So I have my wonderful friend on, Winnie Mattel. She is a former J&Jer like me. Came out of it with not too many scars and not too much trauma. She has some wonderful experience after that at the bank, and then now at first at Public Mobile, and then now Telus, right? You can correct me in a second, but she's wonderful marketing skills. And one of the things that she is known for is some pretty spot on skills for multicultural marketing. And so apart from the fact that it was just another chance to like shoot the shit with Winnie, one, Kenny, I thought you'd love to meet her, and then two is I'm sure our audience will love you as well. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I think you got a good chunk of kind of what I've done, and I think I would argue that my career kind of predates from sort of even before Toronto. As I started working in Hong Kong, I started my career at L'Oreal and CPG. I've always worked in marketing and did a variety of brands at L'Oreal. And then when I embarked into Toronto, had to kind of refigure out my career again. Did a stint actually at Diageo, alcohol beverage company, worked on Smirnoff for about a year. That was just before J&J, so I'm not sure if Phil actually knew all that, but it was too much of an old boys club, I'm not gonna lie, so left and wanted to kind of re-get into CPG, and J&J came calling. It was perfect, and I don't know how long did I spend there, easily 7 years, 6-7 years across sanitary protection. I did Motrin for a while. So a bag of stuff. And then it was wanting a bit more of work-life balance, to be honest. I was having a young family. Then did a stint at TD Bank for about a year and a half. And then the pace was too slow for me, and I wanted to get back faster. And then an interesting opportunity at Walmart came, actually, just a year.
That's right. I thought about that. Yeah.
Yes. So there was a year at Walmart, but there was a change in scope to my job while I was there that I said, no, I got to find the right thing. And this role at TELUS came about almost now 4 years ago. And it was on multicultural marketing. It was to head up a multicultural, or create a multicultural marketing team, I should say. And yeah, fast forward 4 years later, I started with just working on the TELUS brand, and now I lead the mobility team across TELUS, Koodo, and Public Mobile at TELUS. Yeah, so multicultural has been a bit of a passion of mine, I'd say. I mean, I explain it to people that I didn't really come with multicultural experience, but I myself am a multicultural piece of experience, born and brought up in Hong Kong, can, you know, and, but in a very traditional Indian family. I think the mix of those cultures have always just gotten me interested in sharing that knowledge.
Wow.
And yeah, and here I am.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Right?
That's so pretty cool.
So very, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm still learning as I go.
Hopefully we do that right to the bitter end. Learn as we go. So yeah. What exactly are you doing at TELUS then? So what give me something that you do.
Yeah. So I would say that if you look at the population of Canada, you look at Ontario, even more specifically, and BC, heavy, population represented by ethnic minorities, or I'd like to even call them nowadays ethnic majorities. And so, but the way that they shop and the things that they're looking for could sometimes be different from sort of your mass Caucasian Canadians or people that have been here for generations. So understanding that is also the growth, sort of piece, if you think about the population and where the growth is going to come from, we figured that we need to find a way to talk to these people in the way that they need to be talked to. And whether it's in language, whether it's in media, whether it's in the type of product, kind of going across your four P's and where they shop, for example, kind of need to go across all these four areas and talk to them talk to them basically a bit differently. And so across the three brands, has different value props, from a bit more premium to a bit more self-serve. And we try to figure out within this audience of multicultural customers or ethnic customers, however you like to call them, what serves them the right way, what is the right brand for them, how do we go at it with them, you know, what would make them want to sign on to TELUS versus, you know, one of our competitors. So I think that is kind of how we think and go about the business. So it started on just mostly TELUS and Koodo a couple years ago or 4 years ago, and now we added on Public Mobile, which is again a very big brand in this sort of space, especially for newcomers when they first come. So, and even when you look at the ethnic population, they range from those that just start off their immigrant journey, as simple as they don't come with credit to this country. So they're not looking for postpaid plans. They just want a prepaid product, and Public Mobile will serve in the best way for them. Then down the journey, as they establish more, they have a bit more income, they have a job and all of that, they then think about maybe more complex solutions for them. Maybe they want to share data with their family. Then you get TELUS as a good solution. So it's kind of going through along their journey and understanding their needs and kind of addressing it.
That's cool.
So I love marketing for that. See, in marketing, we can get away from all the PC bullshit and actually talk like this. I love it. I seriously, because people don't get it. I mean, as much as you want to be in the PC world, cultures are different, and that's fine. That's the beauty of it, is the diversity, the different ways of thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And to look at it that way now, like I am the ethnic minority now as the white European family, right? My dad came from Italy. My mom's been here. But like in my city, 100%. Yeah. It's going to be definitively of Chinese, Korean, Hong Kong, then South Asian I mean, we have tons of, I don't know, South Asians in the city. Can't say East Indians anymore, I guess, or something like that. But you know, like we got much diversity. I got so many friends. Like, none of our friends care. You got to worry when you're on because it gets recorded and you're going to say something.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, think of that. Oh, whatever, people get a grip. That's why we can stay to the marking angle. I love it.
That's
so good.
You just it is. It's actually it's just been such an intriguing area that is a different taste to marketing that I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of marketing all these years, but I've adopted those tools and applied those tools now, learning this very unique customer segment. And sometimes I always get questioned by Marcom teams and say, well, you know, these folks can also read English. They come to this country. They know how to read English. Can't you just serve them an English ad? I'm like, no, the affinity that you're driving is not going to be there.
Exactly. Plus, don't assume that anyway.
Or even when you, especially Indians, the group of Indians are usually the ones that are always, you know, questioned, like, do we really need to serve them up Punjabi ads, or can we get away with English? They speak English too. Well, I bet you're going to drive way more affinity wishing them Happy Diwali or Happy Vaisakhi in that language versus just English, because that becomes anybody's game, you know?
That's just comfortable, so I think, right? You're talking to him. It's personal now. It's different. It feels like you've gone the extra step and taken the time to say them. Now, again, if you're of Eastern descent and you have no desire to hang on to what you came from, like my dad, when my dad came from Italy, my dad, all your folks, all of our folks here, my dad couldn't speak English, couldn't speak a lick of English, didn't have any money, came because his brother called him, but he didn't want to hang on to a lot of the Italian stuff. He wanted to learn English. He married my mom, who was Canadian, took English classes, all that. So he was really wanted to learn English. Right. As he's gotten older, he's reverted back to an old Italian, but it's gone through, you know. But if you talk to my dad in the '70s as an Italian man, he would have been probably offended. I'm here. Yep. I can speak the language. I want to be in English. But I know a lot of my East Indian friends, folks who are very old fashioned and do like their own radio, the newspaper.
Yeah,
I think they relate to the ads that maybe Van City is doing for them or whatever. And I think it's important.
Totally. Now,
there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, why not?
But it's also
very much so.
It's about channels too, right? Like it's, you know, if you do it in English, you're catering to, honestly, you're catering to like the three of us, right? You're going into, if it's traditional print, you're going Globe and Mail, you're going these places, you're going on. But when you start catering the language, it also drives the channels you get to, right? So
100%.
Traditional folks want to be able to read stuff in their own languages. It's not in the Globe and Mail. It's not like, you know, there's a ton of these, you know, smaller channels, not small, smaller, but, you know, customized channels for the right languages, right? So I think that's...
I discovered about, maybe I'd like to say, 4 or 5 months ago, Globe and Mail actually now has articles that they serve up in Chinese language.
Oh, interesting.
So it tells you as they should, right? So they do have a customer base that probably can read English equally, but now if they want to attract more of those that might still be more comfortable reading in Chinese, why not? But there is always a fine line that I am kind of learning as I go as well, is that how do we do so without offending people? Because there are folks that you serve up in an in-language ad or communication, and they're like, hold on, why do you assume because I have a Chinese face that I am going to want to read in Chinese? Well, so, you know, I was just going to say, Phil, maybe like, what the hell?
Yeah,
just because my last name is Chang. But I think that is, again, we just also have to understand, like, how do we serve that up? Do we give them a choice and let them tell us what they like, you know? So I think that's
ultimately, that's the trick. Choice is it.
Yeah,
Totally. If you choose not to read it 100%. In Chinese, don't. I don't give a shit what language you read it
yeah.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what you look like. I would pick the language that makes you happy. But I mean, why yeah. not have the options available yeah. to me so I can pick the language that makes me happy?
How,
right? I don't, yeah. you know.
Winnie, how many
That's awesome.
Multicultural marketers do you think there are in Canada?
Oh, I don't think there's a whole lot, to be completely yeah. honest. I think yeah. in my journey in the few companies here, even without having focused on multicultural marketing, there's always been interest in making sure we, you know, celebrate Chinese New Year at Smirnoff yeah. or Diwali and whatnot. But usually it's a quarter or half of somebody's desk, you know, that they're yeah. working on whatever portfolio, be like, okay, just yeah. throw in segment
it's
marketing.
It's kind of fake. Yeah. It's not really... Yes. You know, it's like you buy a red bottle of Smirnoff for Chinese New Year thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. It's red yeah. and gold. Like, we get the colors, but that's not how you do it. That's not the intent.
No.
Right? That's getting offensive. Yeah, that's assuming things. J&J had some stuff. I remember when I was buying Motrin or maybe it was Nicoderm.
It's probably Winnie Hughes.
It could have been Winnie. I may have met you because I did some tours. I toured the planogram room in Mississauga, right?
Markham. Yeah.
So I've done that, Markham. I've been through all that. I've gone through it a couple times. I think I was the first buyer to go through, to be actually honest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think I was the first one they brought out.
Yeah.
But it was it was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
But at that time, even with Motrin and I think it was Nicoderm Nicorette in Vancouver, right. because our population was probably more diverse than any in the country. Like yes, and it's probably because we're a port and we cater to that side of the world, right? So it's you just get a different mix than white Europe. You Asian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember we were looking at doing running ads in I can't remember the Indian papers' names or nor the Chinese papers, but we did some stuff,
right?
And the trick was before we did, we said the same thing. Listen, don't go get a white translator and translate this like Google. Like, go talk to somebody and ask them. But how would you not like to be spoken to, but how would you like to be spoken to? Like what would piss you off and think, okay, these dumbasses that don't know shit and they're trying to tell me something. There's no connection, or does it resonate within your group?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm assuming you guys are doing the same type of thing. You're having think little groups to, you know,
you
don't want to piss anybody off. Right. I mean, especially.
No, 100%. I mean, 100%. I think for us, the ads are created, you know, we enlist a multicultural ethnic agency to help us create these ads. So they are definitely very invested in and have a lot of insights with those segments. But just like any other ads that, let's say, a regular mass agency, an English agency would put out, that gets vetted through the internal teams of the company to say, okay, does that make sense? Does it drive? Same thing. We would now take it away and say, let's find people that speak the language or are off that culture that are able to comment on that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's people in the office, people on my team, for example, or sometimes we even ask store reps of that culture and say, hey, does that make sense to you? Do you think it's going to drive with the customer? They're the ones facing the customer day in, day out. So I think a balance of that is definitely needed. You know, as much as we understand the agencies have their insight, it's always good to have sort of that reality check with people that are in the field.
So, oh, absolutely.
So we try to do that for sure.
You got to get off the 10th floor and hit the ground.
100%.
Right. You got to get the street level and make sure that the street gets it.
Yeah.
I don't care what a guy in the office thinks.
It's not a small number, eh? Like what, like it's something like 20 or 22% of the population is actually not even really ethnic, just people of color. I think is.
Yep.
I think we still define ethnicity as sort of.
Like
it's
number,
but this is we're European based. So when because you're in Canada or North America, you think white and then ethnic.
Yeah.
Totally.
Forget that even with white, there's a lot of ethnicities buried into that mess.
And,
right.
100%. So you have about you're right. I think the 23% or 22% is approximately where Canada is at. As of at least the last census.
Vancouver.
And Vancouver, or if you look at Ontario itself, if I look at, I mean, Ontario numbers are at, I think 30% of Ontario is, okay. is ethnic minorities or of color.
Yeah, right.
If I dive it down further one more level to GTA, Toronto, it's 51%. So hence it's no longer a minority.
Yeah. I would assume, I would actually assume they're probably closer to 60%. I say that because I do remember someone spitting that out.
Yeah.
Right. Which definitely in our city, you definitely feel it. And it, again,
But
you do see it in how things are marketed, billboards, print media, social media, television channels. Like, I mean, you know, it's only a matter of time before you tap into it where you have to.
I think so. I'm getting a couple of things. I think one is I'm trying to suggest that you're a unicorn. So which I think you are, right? Like, I honestly haven't met anyone else who's doing multiple.
She could just be the smartest one too. You know, you don't have to make her like,
she's 100% the smartest,
like the only one. Just make her the smartest one.
She's 100% the smartest one and the only.
I'll take it.
I guess if I were to look, like, if you start looking at, you know, however you look at politics and you look at where we are right now with the pandemic, everything, one of the sources of income that the country is going to need for us to pay for this mess that we're in is to bring in more immigrants, right? So,
oh my God, big time.
So the 22-ish, the 30, the 50% that we're sitting at now is probably, it's going to
go up.
Like, it has to.
Yeah. It's like a undiscovered, you know.
It has
You're going to be like the wise old guru by next year.
You guys are going to try to figure out how to talk to me again. That's going to be your challenge. You're going to have to go back to the old minority and say, how do we talk to those people again?
Winnie Mattel is going to be the Yoda of multicultural
She is. She's going to be it all. Doesn't need to be a unicorn. Unicorn's done nothing.
I have to say that more and more, you're right on that number growing. Like, I mean, I think it was just about 2 weeks ago, federal government announced, I think they're bringing in 1.2 million immigrants over the next 2-3 years. And historically, in the last few years, we've seen on average about 350,000 newcomers come into the country. So that's a huge number spike. Yeah, 100%. And I think they know that they need the growth. And this is really where it's going to grow from. And the interesting trend I've also noticed is that when I first started in this about 4 years ago, I would even rewind further back when I first came to Canada years ago now. The first flavor of multicultural marketing I saw were from the banks. They were the first in place and not first to market. TD Bank, all your banks actually, name it. They all did their flavors and they recognized it early on. And then I would say in the last 4 to 5 years, a lot of ethnic festivals or cultural festivals 100%. That are celebrated are now becoming mainstream. Every brand, like a lot of big brands out there, like The Bay, Holtz, Shoppers, any kind of like big retailers are out there and promoting Chinese New Year. And Diwali now you probably already see.
They're huge. Everybody has a flyer, periodical, something is everybody.
So it's November the 12th, but I was surprised at how many brands were doing Singles Day yesterday.
Yes, I was about to say that next. Yes.
You have to do these things now, though, because our population has changed.
Like Singles Day, it's a very Chinese, you know.
It's
like,
actually a mainland Chinese.
If you're a listener and you don't
know. Mainland Chinese, you're right.
It's not Hong Kong Chinese, it's mainland Chinese.
No.
But what does it show you again?
Yeah.
Right. The world is getting a lot smaller, and
100%.
And you're getting people travel more. Social's big. You can see things now. You got a better appreciation of what actually happened. This whole planet doesn't run in the GTA or Vancouver.
Well,
or
it does.
Well, I know. I try not to. We know you're the center of the universe. That's by default. We just give that to you. We say that to make ourselves feel better, so the rest of us know that we praise.
I'm sorry, Kenny. The jingle from out west is really weak. Did you say something?
It had to get over the Rockies. That will be the line when we cut us off from the rest of you people. That's what'll happen.
Oh man,
that was gonna be the only bonus if Trump won. We figured, okay, shit, that means California, Oregon, and Washington are gonna go. We'll go with them.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Thank God that didn't happen.
The Pacific Coast Union or something like that.
You know? Oh, no.
Man.
Cascadia is what we're called. That's true, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, Oregon, Washington, and BC. It's green, blue, and white colors, and it's called Cascadia. And it was supposed to be a movement that, because we're all kind of hippy-dippy, I guess, out here, between those three, the two states and our province for sure, that it was, it's called Cascadia.
I thought that was just the weed underground.
Same thing. It doesn't matter what motivated. Who cares? Why do you got to be like that?
Okay.
For what it is. Wait, it's all good.
I have more questions. So, what's really cool about all of this is you're kind of sitting on this emerging trend. I have all sorts of I have lots of delivery questions, right? Because I one of the things about marketing that, you can spend millions of dollars in marketing and never finish delivering the message that you're trying to build.
Yeah.
How do you, it seems like it's a really expensive thing to do in relationship to everything else, is because you've got to recreate, because we've said it's not a straight translation of Happy New Year. So you can't do that. You need context. Mm-mm. So translation takes, contextual translation takes time and money. And then delivery seems like it's almost bespoke, right? Like you're kind of like, I'm hitting a very narrow corridor of folks. How do you, how do you make ROI work, return on investment work for this? It seems like it's a really tough thing, right? Like it seems like there's a lot to do with not enough money.
100%. That's always a love and joy of a marketer. Oh no, budget cut halfway through the year. I remember the first of many presentations that I've done so far in my time here at TELUS has been to the execs pitching why multicultural marketing and why is this important.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all those numbers we shared earlier, the size of the population, the growth and all of that, they get it. But my main message always, and I keep reiterating it year after year, is that it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I know no execs like to listen to that because it is, everybody just wants to see things fast. I think the key thing on that sort of marathon versus a sprint message is around, we got to continue to think of ways to build the awareness. So we cannot say, we're going to go wish somebody Chinese New Year and Diwali, and then we're going to go dark. Like, you cannot. So you got to have to find a way that during the whole year that you're still peppering with messages. And these messages doesn't always need to be expensive advertising, to be honest. If you think back about the customer, these sort of newer comers to the country or those that have migrated here, for the last 5-10 years, people that they trust the most are people from their community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got to leverage and think about how do we use the power of that community that they trust in, their own people, as I'd like to call them, a bit more. And if you think about the face of TELUS, which is basically the store and the reps, how do we leverage them the most and be that person that they go to? If you think about where you go and get your cell phone plan, and how you will always, I have a guy, I'm going to go call my guy, right? Everybody has a guy of sorts. So how do we become and create that affinity, whether it's putting store reps that speak the language, that are ingrained in the community, or that are active in the community, to be able to talk to them? That is a much sort of more economical way to be able to still reach them, without necessarily always having the craziest expensive dollars. So I would say that, we still would ask for the dollars, because I think that does its job by having a bigger macro sort of effect and impact.
Yeah.
But you need to think about the micro as well, is kind of how I would kind of go about it.
I was going to throw that to both of you before you started, because when you start the way you're talking, it's okay, because we're going to talk marketing. It's sort of the white guy talking about trying to get to the whole world. And that's not this is anyway. That's why sometimes I think this, in some ways, it's not that it's easier, but it's, I think it's easier, but I'll qualify that. I don't think it's easier in terms of the amount of work because you're having to go into a lot of pockets, but the pockets are small and the pockets are tighter. And a lot of those pockets is where in normal mainstream, the three of us are mainstream. Okay.
We're
North Americans. 100%. We look at 5,000 different mediums. We're on every platform. Yeah. We're all over. You talk to ethnic people, and I don't care where they come from, whether they're Serbian, Croatian, African, Chinese. Small pockets of where they get their information. A lot of it is influencers, where it's the radio guy in town that everybody listens to. Like, so all the first generation East Indians in town listen to so and so. And the kids probably start there. And then once the kids realize that that person's old, one of the kids becomes the next influencer.
Yeah.
So your target, to me, is a lot smaller. Now, your reward, Phil, because your ROI is now spread out over 60 buckets as opposed to the shotgun approach of going to Canada-wide.
There's no minimum, right? Like, there's no you can't reduce a minimum cost, right? Because it's not like you can go to, an ethnic television station and say, listen, like, I'm going to run an ad, but you guys are way smaller than any TV flight I can do. So you got to give me the cheapest price.
Oh no.
You got to run their shows.
You can't do that,
right?
So, but you can definitely run your ads. Costs are still going to be a loss, a little less expensive than it would be.
It costs what it costs, right? Like,
to a degree, I guess, but the 5 o'clock on Global News is a different spend than the 10 o'clock on the Italian channel or the Indian channel or the Chinese channel. Now, again, proportionately, for the audience you reach, but the beauty of it, that audience is way better than the 5 o'clock audience was. Because
well,
the 5 o'clock
audience
is a shit show. They're ADD. There's just so much crap coming out. That was always the hard one. Like, I love this marketing because I love the fact you're actually talking almost specifically to a nice, tight group. Now, I guess when you screw it up, you can really screw it up good because you just pissed off the whole group.
But I think that's the thing is, so I think it's like, how do you balance, because like, let's take an Indian, a Chinese, an Italian group, and you go and market to them. There's minimum cost for doing each of those, right? Because the messages.
Yes, that's exactly.
Right? For sure. And so problem is your cost for making those three messages still costs what it costs, right? And then like with the Italians, you might be able to get away with going more mainstream. So if you.
And that's why my point would be, Phil, you wouldn't bother with us. First off, we're not that big. Well, and we're going to be the more mainstream. So you look at the two population bases now.
We could still tie it back to like some of the mainstream media you buy or whatever it is so that you get a bit of synergy. It might get a little bit cheaper, right?
Yeah.
But you're not going to get any cheaper on Chinese. You're not going to get any cheaper on Indian, right? Like it just doesn't.
No.
So now you've got three spends where if I was just doing this in English, I could kind of go, I've spent this, I'm going to chuck just a little bit more.
And no, I understand what you're saying
probably where companies start going, you know what, like, we'll just do the one.
Just do the blanket.
We'll just do the translation and then,
And if we get them, we get them. That's kind of how they would think, right? So.
And again, which is such a not a smart way to look at our country anymore, because our country is not that country anymore. That's the problem they have, right? Our country is not that country anymore. Our country is what you're doing. That is our country.
And I mean, if you even were to go down one more level, like if I were to go one further down level, would be even within these segments, we use Chinese as a blanket statement. There's like Hong Kong Chinese, Taiwanese Chinese, mainland Chinese, and there's very different behaviors. There's different sensitivities.
Absolutely.
I would say in this past year and last as well, like we've been playing around a lot of political sensitivities that we have to be careful as we market it. Right.
Yeah.
And those
Indian
are things,
the same,
you know,
right? You got two religions,
same thing.
Dominant religions.
There you go.
The dominant ones, very different approaches, different people.
Exactly.
Same people. Like people are people.
Exactly.
We're all the same, but yes, we do have some idiosyncrasies built into our pockets of culture, whatever you want to call it. Right. So,
Weird question as well, because I don't think I actually know the answer to this, is does digital help you or hurt you? It theoretically lowers your cost and widens your bandwidth, but
in theory, I guess
you're still like contextual translation is where the hindrance is, right? Is like,
exactly.
I was just going to say, like, it helps from maybe it's not as expensive as TV, but production costs, same. In fact, probably, we're still translating. We're still having to create that in a language. The one thing I'll say is that the behavior of new immigrants coming into this country in the last 5 to 10 years has been, they've been doing a lot of research online. So their medium of researching prior to coming has really predominantly mm-hmm. been digital alongside word of mouth from their family and friends that are already here.
Right.
So if I were to, if they're already predisposed to some of that digital medium and media and potential websites mm-hmm. or social media apps and whatnot, that's a very, that's a good way for us to tap into even before they come. But that's why I would say digital has been a big piece. But it's interesting, and I think, Kenny, you mentioned that earlier, is that there are still some folks that are very ingrained in traditional media, you know, because radio, regardless of how old you think the medium is, amongst these community is huge, young and old.
You better believe
it. So it's interesting. I remember getting a media plan, and, you know, once there folks on the team were asking, like, do we really still want to buy radio? Like, we don't buy that in mass anymore. We're like, well, this is a unique segment. It actually still behaves very strongly with this sort of affinity on and with radio.
I
and
listen some to
TV
radio
stations as well.
I listen to Chinese radio.
There you go.
Like, I don't get enough. Like, so even in my house, my wife speaks Fukien, which is a different dialect than I speak, right? I speak Cantonese.
Right.
And so if I'm not practicing with my mom, my sisters are not really that helpful. They have accents worse than me, right? Like, so if I'm not practicing with Winnie, which I don't get to talk to enough, and my mom, the only other I get is radio, right? So I actually had to explain to the kids what AM was, right? Because they don't even know what AM FM is anymore, right? So
totally.
Because that's where all the good music is. So I had it on AM, and they're wondering what this tinny shit is, right? Like, so. But I do. I listen to Chinese radio. Like, I absolutely 100% do. And every time I call my mom, it's on in the background. I can hear it, right? Like, it's just.
Radio's not a dead medium. I think the problem is the way you said it, Winnie, is that when they say, well, do we still use, do we still do mass media in radio? Well, it's got shit to do with mass. That's your first problem. It's not about mass media. It's honing in on the groups who are using it. Almost every ethnic group or language
has a
radio portion.
Yeah.
You may not have a station. Yeah. Definitely has an hour to two to three a week. Yeah. So if you dial, you know, there's always an ethnic radio station who has all the languages sort of on. But, you know, Farsi is big in our city.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to, So I think it's the old school marketing. The problem with a lot of the execs that are still there still go to those days where it's mass media. Well, mass media, the shotgun approach doesn't work because we're a different country than we were 10, 20 years ago. Look around.
Oh my gosh. And the next 10.
You can't do that. And the next 10 is going to be even more different.
We're going to look crazy.
And who's it going to be though? Now, is it going to be more of continent Africa coming? Is it more South America? Like, who's it going to be? So you got to talk to those people a little differently. Sure. Everybody will end up being a Canadian, which is awesome. But the beauty of our country too, is we don't ever want us to all lose the background, right? It's nice to hang on. Yeah, yeah. Nice to be an Italian Canadian or a Chinese Canadian or Indian Canadian. What's wrong with that? It's actually kind of nice.
No, for sure. Yeah.
And Phil and I probably have the same rule. As long as you bring food, everybody's allowed.
There you go.
That's all I care. There as long as you bring food, different food than what I'm going to have, everybody's in. You bring no food, then I'm going to draw some lines. Not on my much. I've got very limited use for you. You can stay home. Bring food, come on over.
Yeah. I like that rule. I'm all about the food. And so is Phil, hence we bonded on that one.
It's probably why the three of us will bond too, because I just, I'm all good for the food.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I think that's very good. I think it's very cool. I think I think it's neat to see that a big company like TELUS has actually taken it even a little further than I thought they might.
Because they're such a large
beast.
Yeah. When I first joined, I don't think it's any secret. I remember, you know, meeting people from different teams, trying to introduce what I'm doing and trying to learn a bit about and how I went about how to go about my strategy and writing about it. There were people that were there for a while and they were like, oh, we've been there, done that. We've tried this out. Doesn't work. But the trying out historically was translating an ad, throwing it out there. And that was it.
Work.
but I would say in the last 4 years, the company has definitely come on board and like fully invested in it, which has been, because I honestly thought shit, like, how long am I going to get this job for? Like, when are they going to give up? But now I think you see there is that huge investment in it. And, you know, it started from one brand with one person, me on it, and then, it, you know, expanded. Now it's like, you know, a team of 6-7 people here in Toronto and another like, you know, 8-9 on the other portfolio out west. So quite a bit.
I just think it's really cool that they figured it out, that all three brands talk to three different groups. And at the same time, they all talk to the same groups within the three brands, right?
Because Totally.
Like, if you got three brands, you might have three ethnic groups, pretty got nine ethnic groups. You got so much talking to do. And they and it's out, like, to your point, Phil. Like, so if the ROI, I mean, you could talk to 100 different groups. You pick your top three that are going to spend. And if it's Indian, Chinese and Mexicans that are doing it, well, then that's who you talk to. Yeah. Don't worry about the rest.
Yeah.
It's no different than we would have done in the past, right? You talk to who.
It's no different than going to buy now, right?
Like, absolutely. Whoever buys is the one we talk to.
Right. So,
I just find it, I think it's good that a large company like that has enough brains in their heads to push it, because I think it's important. I'll tell you both. You guys watch CNN much?
Yeah, my husband has it on all the time.
So I'll tell you what. There's one company down there, three ads, same product. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is. Car Shield, I think it's called.
Okay.
So Car Shield. One of the commercials is iced tea.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So iced tea comes on. He talks about his cars and jigga jigga jigga.
Right,
that's fine. Then there's the Swami, and he is a white guy who does NFL football on the weekends, and he's one of those predictors. Remember, like Jimmy the Greek, except not as Jimmy the Greek problems. He talks to a whole different. It's not that side. Now it's American white that we're talking to. Whole different spin. Same product. Two different ads completely. Then there's a third ad they're running. That is the nice white guy, and he's talking like this. So he's talking to all the educated people.
Could be white, same message, though.
Interesting.
Same message. Wow. All Car Shield. And I found it. So when you came on, I thought, oh, shit, man. I've been wanting to talk to Phil about this topic for weeks because I keep seeing these ads. And I keep thinking, I'm going to phone Phil after the ad. Because it's funny. You know, it's because I find what resonates with me. So when I watch Ice-T's ad, I love Ice-T. I do. I think he's like cool as shit. Man.
Yeah,
I think he's cool.
But
I'm not black. I'm not from Los Angeles. I'm not from the subculture that he grew up in. I mean, Italians, we grew up different. It's different.
Yeah.
So I don't get that commercial as much. So I find it kind of chintzy and meh. Then when you watch the Swami, which is the NFL guy, I kind of think, that's like NASCAR.
A little bit closer.
I don't like that group either. Then there's the other guy who comes on and he's talking and I think, that's the guy I could listen to. And I don't want to be like him. I like Ice T better because he's a little cooler.
That's so funny.
But it's funny, right? But a big company like that figured out on a major network to run, in essence, the same commercial three different ways.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like there was a car company that recently came out also saying, I haven't seen the versions, but they said they ran about 20 versions of a similar ad, and it was about one of their car lines. I forget now. I feel like it was Nissan that came up with this. I have to look back up, but and they did, like, one was like a person that's going to her yoga class, and one's like with kids, and like all these different scenarios that then you find who you can relate to.
Now that's expensive though, right? Those are big hits.
100%. And hence it's a car company. I don't have that budget.
And hence it's an insurance company.
There you go. So
you know what's really amazing, right? Is I'm probably closer to both of you on this, but it's exactly what you would do in a Google ad, right? So when I build a Google ad, that's exactly what you do, is you figure out your personas. You build kind of like three alternating, you know,
alter egos of different people out there.
And then you alternate out the descriptions, right? And then you like test and learn and you know, like you A/B test everything, right? And then you wind up like picking the combinations that work, and then you throw more combinations in it. I think I never anticipated for someone to take a new school you know, analytic activity and stick it into an old school mechanism, right? So yeah. I'm a little mind blown. I might actually need to watch CNN now just to watch.
Just go watch. Go, I bet they're on YouTube. No, it's a good one. Listen, because yeah. Remember, I was a marketing major too. So yeah. I'm looking at thinking, yeah. This is fucking awesome. Like I've seen, because I'm on the, I saw it was iced tea. And I thought, okay, whatever. And then the Swami came on. I'm thinking, that's the same product line. Because you know how, because even I think.
That's amazing.
And yeah. then the third one came out, that, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. This is fantastic. This is so cool.
I'm not going to fall asleep tonight.
Go on YouTube and find that. Tell you, man.
Is there any figure out how to take new
tech and
put it into old? Yeah, it's amazing.
You will love it. Now, the problem with that medium, too, so we're saying, that's an expensive medium, doing production runs like that.
Yeah.
But radio is dirt cheap. I don't care what anybody, relatively speaking, dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Right? And there are things like that. Newspaper, that's a little more defunct, but if you're looking for older cell phone clientele, for example, for TELUS, newspaper is still a completely viable medium.
100%.
Completely viable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Awesome. We had the Yoda of multicultural.
See, you are so smart. You're not a unicorn. Like you're, you're like the smart one.
A unicorn and Yoda.
Holy.
All in one.
And not prepared either. Come on.
That's what Phil gave. Like pure cold. He's like, nothing to prepare. Just come on. Just be yourself. And I'm like, all right. That's probably the most relaxed thing I can do.
I think we prepared once. A little bit.
Yeah, I broke protocol and prepared.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
And I got in shit from Kenny, so I stopped.
Yeah, don't do that. Because then I felt stupid. I think, okay, if you prepare now, I look like now I'm the only idiot that didn't prepare. You can't do that. Nobody prepares. That's the rule.
You can't do that.
I know.
It's not right. Thanks, Winnie. I mean, seriously, that's not. That's very.
I'll give him shit if I need to. No problem.
I think you're gonna have to. I don't think that was very nice of you, Phil.
Okay. So Yoda.
No Chinese breakfast for you.
That's it. Last time you see Kanji.
So Yoda, if people want to find you, what's the best place to find you?
LinkedIn, Winnie Mattel. That's probably the easiest. And I do respond to people looking for me, and that's probably the easiest way to go about it.
Awesome. I'll have to try to find you tonight.
Yeah, we'll put in the show notes as always, but Winnie, thank you for coming on.
That was awesome. I really like that. So maybe you should come back.
This was amazing.
I would love to see where the ads have gone, like in 6 months or 8 months. You got to come back on. I love ethnic marketing. It's so hard to talk about.
I'm so happy.
Unless you're with workers, because if I talk this way outside of the house, you're just going to get labeled racist, right? Because, and without thinking that, no, we have to do it this way. You got to box people. That's marketing. That's the fun of it.
But so this is the best part. I'll leave you with that, is that the best part out of my job, every time I go into a presentation, I also caveat by saying, guys, I may not be fully politically correct.
Absolutely.
But this is my job. And it's true, because like, I think once we had to talk about why we're selecting Chinese or South Asian as ones that we're focusing on. Yeah. And then there's a Black community. And then we're like African-American, Black. I'm like, call a spade a spade. Like, it is what it is. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's not to offend. We're just trying to describe an ethnicity. And that was it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was it's been an interesting journey, and I am continuing to learn more as I go on it. I'm happy to come back and share anytime you guys want.
That's it. Keep it authentic. Great. People will love to listen to
our
thank you.
Open. You come
That's
back
fantastic.
Whenever you want.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of the results. So
awesome.
Okay,
all right.
Stick around for a minute. Winnie, thank you
guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Love ethnic marketing. I do. Because I think it's absolutely a hoot when companies are smart enough to know that we're all people, get past that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's emphatically true. Nobody better than anybody. Same. But groups do think and talk differently.
Yeah,
and really see the world differently.
Yeah.
When you think of the digital mediums, if you're a smart Canadian company, what's the one app that you'd really want to get onto if you're going to talk to Asians, not South Asians so much? I don't know if they use WeChat in South Asia. Like Asia, WeChat, right? WeChat is a big
WeChat
platform. WhatsApp,
all of them, yeah.
Yeah, WhatsApp, yeah. Those two are huge in Taiwan, Hong Kong, mainland. I think as it extends down the strip. I think it's that whole, like from Japan down, it's very popular.
Yeah.
Why would you talk Facebook and jam shit in Facebook when they're not on it? Like that's a stupidity.
Yeah, yeah.
So to be politically correct and assume everybody's exactly the same is just dumb.
No, it's dumb. It's dumb.
Look at it. Where do people go?
I know.
I love radio too, by the way. I think radio is an awesome medium for that reason.
I think radio is a lost art.
I do too. And I think it's not even an expensive art these days, relatively speaking.
It's not.
Yeah. You got to go look up CarShield though. I shit you not. I've been meaning to phone you every day for the last month watching these stupid commercials.
Yeah, like the listeners can't see my face, but I'm literally like, this is like cool ads, but in old world format, this is amazing.
Can you imagine the money they spent?
Like, I know.
It's CarShield.
Yeah.
Watch Ice-T's first, just because Ice-T's freaking cool. Okay. And then it's the Swami, what do you call it?
Yeah.
Swami. And then there is just, I just call it white toast. I don't know what else to call it. It's talking to anybody who's got sort of that education as opposed to getting into the street. I'm thinking, okay, whatever, buddy.
Oh my God.
First off, you're the most boring one, but I understood you. That was the worst part. I wanted to be more like the other groups.
So funny.
Oh,
it's amazing. I love it.
Watch it. You'll love it. You especially will love it. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. She's really nice. I like her.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
I like her. She's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like her a lot. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Got everything else okay?
Everything else is great.
Yeah. You got my note back?
Yes, I did.
I sent a generic email to everybody. It's just we're so far off.
Yeah.
So far off.
Yeah.
So far off.
Yeah.
I know everybody thinks it's tomorrow. It's not gonna happen tomorrow.
No. Let me stop this and then we can talk tomorrow.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.